Glad you guys are here today. We're going to wrap up this series entitled Storms today, and it's been a great series. And the reality is that you might find yourself in the midst of a storm right now, and if you're not in the middle of one right now, it's probably a good time to get prepared and batten down the hatches, because a storm will come upon all of our lives. None of us are immune from those trials, those storms, the wind and the waves. How about that wind last night? I went out and there was carnage all over my backyard this morning. I got chairs and pillows and all sorts of stuff everywhere. But storms come into our lives, right? And you might be doing everything right, and that's okay, but there's still some times in which we experience storms. And so for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how we can be prepared for when they do come, or maybe what our perspective should be in the midst of those storms today. We've talked about things like what we call waves, Jesus calls pavement. Sometimes we look at the waves that are crashing in around us, and those just may be the very opportunity for our Father to walk out. Listen, He is the God of the wind and the waves. Remember, He spoke those words, peace, be still, and the storm ceased. Are you with me there? Yes. And what we call trouble or difficulties might just be opportunities for God. Come on, somebody, to step in and do something awesome. We talked about how sometimes He comes in the clouds. All of us are people that prefer the sunshine, all right? It's 43 degrees this morning when I rolled in, and I'm getting ready for Easter, and I'm like, where is the sun? Well, the sun is still there. I just can't see it. And sometimes that's what happens when we face a difficult situation. We wonder, where is God? I'm telling you, He's always there. He's still there. We just can't see Him. But sometimes He comes in those clouds. Sometimes it's in those moments in which He speaks in our lives and shows us something even greater. We looked at last week, then, just as we sang about a few moments ago, that He also stands with us in those times of fire, doesn't He? Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And when they threw them in the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he sees a fourth person. Wait a minute, stop the bus. Didn't we just throw three in? But I see a fourth, and he looks like God. Come on, He's with you in the fire. And for someone here today or watching us online, that might just be a message of hope for you right now, that you're not alone. I know we will never be alone. There's another in the fire. We've been talking about how there are storms that come that are for correction. There are storms that come that are for perfection. Well, today I want to mess you up a little bit. I've been a little easy and I've been really nice to you. Today I want to talk about how some of the storms we face might be intended to push us towards repentance. And we're going to look at God's word today and read about a situation where that was the case. Let me ask you a question. Do you sometimes avoid doing things in life that are just undesirable to you? Like take out trash? You know, I love, this is my favorite time of the year because baseball has started. Come on. And for those of you that don't understand, maybe it's just a little too complicated for you, too complicated of a game. But it's Thursday, I was locked and loaded, watching TV. I was still studying in the midst of innings and seventh inning stretches and what have you. But I love this time of year. And inevitably, when I was growing up at home, I loved Saturdays, because there was a show that used to come on Saturday before the game of the week of baseball. They just showed one back then, right? But there was a show called This Week in Baseball. It was hosted by a guy by the name of Mel Allen, and he would go through and share highlights or backstories of certain players, but there was always a favorite part of mine. It was the blooper section, where they would show bloopers, right? And I love that. And inevitably, when I'm in the midst of watching that, there would always come this request from my mom. Hey, son, would you please take the trash out? I'm like, are you kidding me? Mom, this is This Week in Baseball. This is back before we can rewind it and watch it again. And you know, I mean, this is it, you know, and I can't miss this. That trash will be okay. What's it gonna do? Grow, you know? But do you sometimes put off things that are undesirable to you? Or do you have a rotten attitude about it? Are you a little stubborn sometimes? Tax season is upon us, correct? And some of you guys are going, oh, thanks for that reminder. You've got just a few days, you know, to get it in. But some of y'all, you know what? I'm going to hold off to that very last minute. You know, I'm not giving them a dime, and I'm going to be in that carpool line, dropping it in the mailbox at, 11:58 p.m., right? Just in time, right? We're like that. Do you sometimes avoid those things that are undesirable to you? Maybe just develop a little stubbornness attitude towards something there. Well, today I want to look at a story in the Bible. And you think that your kid is bad when it comes to chores or taking the trash out, or maybe you can look back in your life and say, I've had a rotten attitude when it comes to doing something that was asking me. You probably don't compare to a prophet by the name of Jonah that we find in the Bible. How many of you, a round of applause, have heard his story before, right? Now, it's important that I share with you that he was a prophet, because today we're going to look, if you have your Bibles or your phones or your tablets, or maybe you brought your whole PC, I don't know, pull it up right now. Jonah chapter 1 is where we're going to camp out today. And what we're going to find in this story is that God calls this man Jonah. He's a prophet. Prophets were men that would go into a city or to a group of people, and they would speak on behalf of God. And most leaders back in the day, they dreaded when a prophet showed up, because they knew that when a prophet showed up, it probably wasn't, hey, you guys are doing a great job, attaboy, keep it up, you're awesome. And then, no, most of the time when a prophet shows up, there's a word from God, and most of it has to deal with, hey, you guys are off track a little bit, or there's an impending judgment coming up on you. God calls this prophet Jonah to go and speak to a city known as Nineveh. Jonah has a hardened heart towards the inhabitants of Nineveh. He knows they're wicked. And Jonah has this moment where he's like, hey, God, listen, come on. I know that you're the creator of heaven and earth, and surely you can send someone else. I don't want to go do what you're asking me to do. And so we know that as we read this story, we're going to find that this prophet Jonah, this man of God, gets in a boat and sails the opposite direction from the city that God is sending him to. He goes the opposite direction. He probably sails to the opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea just to get away from this great city of Nineveh, right? But he's a prophet. Jonah should know some stuff. He should know that it's impossible to run from God. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. It's impossible to run from God. Let's read his story in Jonah chapter 1. And what we're going to find today in relation to storms today is that in Jonah chapter 1, God sends a storm to draw Jonah to repentance. Repentance. Verse 1 says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to this great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction. What direction? The opposite direction to get away from the Lord. And he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. And he bought a ticket. He went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Who did it? The Lord. Sometimes God may bring storms. The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. And fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods, little g, for help. And they began to throw the cargo overboard in order to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah, this great stalwart of God, this prophet, well, he's down underneath, asleep, down in the hold. And so the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. The crew began to cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Oh, he thought he could get away. Verse 8 says, they begin to ask him, why has this awful storm come down on us? Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. It says the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for He had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. Why did you do it? Since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, well, what should we do in order to stop this storm? And Jonah said, throw me into the sea and it will be calm again. And I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. I know this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, though, the sailors begin to row even harder to get the ship back to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm up on him for your good reasons. Stop right there. Sometimes storms come for God's good reasons. Verse 15, the sailors picked Jonah up and they threw him into the raging sea and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. Then they offered him a sacrifice and they vowed to serve him. And verse 17 says, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. What an incredible life preserver. A great fish. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would have your way in what you do, what you want to do right now. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter 1, the Lord tells him to go to Nineveh to announce judgment for their wickedness. And Jonah gets on a ship and heads the opposite direction. Tries to get away from the Lord. Jonah forgot something. Out of all people, he should have known this. Jonah forgot something important. You can't avoid God. You can't avoid God. He's present everywhere. And he gets on this boat and he thinks he can escape. He thinks he can run away from this calling that God has on his life. And it says that he's asleep in the cargo hold of this ship when this incredible storm. Who sent the storm? Do you remember what it said in the story? The Lord hurled this great wind, it says in verse 4, on the sea. All these sailors, these roughneck sailors, different nationality than Joseph, they begin to call on their little g gods. They're doing whatever they can to stop this calamity that has come upon them, but to no avail. They were just hoping that their gods would intervene. When all else fails, they begin to cast lots, it says in the story, to see which of them was to blame for this storm. And the lot fell, of course, on Jonah. He was trying to run from God, leaving the very calling that God was sending him into. Crew, it says, throws Jonah into the sea, hoping that it would stop the storm. Think about this for just a moment with me. In this story, we find that Jonah understands and he knows the reason the storm has come upon him. Jonah knows who is the one causing this storm. The story says that they do exactly what Jonah asked them to do. They tried their best to row the ship back to land. They didn't want to have his blood on their hands. They didn't want him to die. And so, but it says in the story that they couldn't make it back to the land. And so they do what Jonah had said. They throw him overboard into this raging sea. And scripture says that once they did, the storm stopped. Which of course led those guys, as it probably would you as well, to really believe in this God that Jonah was professing, right? The storm stopped. Here's the interesting thing to me. Jonah is trying to escape from the Lord. Much like maybe somebody listening to this message today. You have felt God calling you to do something. Or maybe he's called you to say, hey, listen, would you just give your life to me and let me take over? But for whatever reason, you've just refused to do that. For some of you, maybe there's a special task. There's an action step that God has called you to take. Maybe there's someone that he's wanted you to reach out to and to assist. For some of you, maybe he's called some of you, hey, I just want you to go deeper with me. I want to grow you in your faith. And for whatever reason, many of us listening might be like Jonah today. It's real easy for us to look at him and say, I can't believe he would do that. But in reality, we do that a lot of times in our lives, don't we? God calls us to do something. He has something for us. And we're like, oh, I really? And we try to run from him. And it's interesting to me that this man of God, as he's trying to escape from the Lord, God never left him. That although Jonah was trying to get away, God never left him. I mean, even in the midst of this storm and the sailors being compliant and doing exactly what Jonah had encouraged them to do, throw me over. Even in the midst of that, what does God do? He shows up. He provides something to rescue and deliver Jonah. This great fish, I know that it's not idyllic, but this great fish, it says in Jonah chapter 1, comes, swallows him. Jonah would spend the next 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that fish. I would encourage you to continue to read through the book of Jonah to see what happens beginning in chapter 2, because the opening scene in chapter 2 is that this fish kind of vomits Jonah up onto dry land. And finally, Jonah, in the midst of 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish, comes to his senses and he goes and does exactly what God called him to do. You probably would have a wake-up call too if you were in a fish, weren't you? You probably would say, hey, God, your prayer life would grow, wouldn't it? And you would call out. Jonah ends up going to Nineveh and preaches just as the Lord had commanded him to. But even in the midst of that, I don't want to ruin it for you. He still is resentful that God would send him and call him to go to a wicked people. People he didn't want to. He didn't have time. Ain't nobody got time for Nineveh. You know? I don't have time for that. It's baseball season. There's something else that I want to do. You know, much like Jonah, even in our days and times in which we live, sometimes we may bring storms upon ourselves when we try to run away from God. And I know that maybe you don't like to hear that. But could it just be, and I'm not saying that this is the reason you find yourself in the fire in the midst of a storm today, but could it just might possibly be that you brought it on yourself? You know, my grandparents used to say, you made your bed, now you need to. And what they meant, what they were saying is, hey, Jay Brown, it's all on you, bro. They didn't call me bro, but that... But you know what I'm saying? And could it just possibly be, because I see it here, even Jonah admits, hey, I'm the one responsible for this. Hey, sailor dudes, listen, I know why this storm has come. You guys, I appreciate you trying to throw cargo over the side of the boat and praying to your gods. But listen, I just need to let you know, I'm the reason this storm has come upon us today. And for some of us, we don't like to do that. We don't like to admit when we've dropped the ball. We don't like to admit when we've said something we shouldn't have said. We don't like to admit when we've breached confidence. We don't like to admit whenever we've done something wrong. We just have a hard time. I call it the Arthur Fonzarelli disease. We have a hard time saying I was. Some of y'all don't even know who Arthur Fonzarelli is. That's what's wrong with us. We could start there and make America great again by just getting back to some happy days. It's not a political state. I don't know what happened there. But don't we have a hard time admitting that we're wrong? And I don't know, sometimes it may take just a difficult, tumultuous time in your life for you to come to that. I would just love to see some people admit, you know what, I screwed up. Hey, I'm the reason that things are falling apart. You know, I performed a wedding ceremony last night and I talked about the difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract says, if you do your part, then I'll do my part. That's not marriage. It's all of us giving everything we can and giving the very best. It's not dependent on what the other person does. I know, oh, it's their fault. Come on, guys. Sometimes we're the reason stuff goes sideways, aren't we? Sometimes we screw up. Sometimes we bring storms upon ourselves, right? That's what's happening here. We bring storms upon ourselves. And oftentimes when we try to run away from God, he has to do something, much like here in Jonah chapter 1, to get our attention. Sometimes God can simply speak to some of you and his Holy Spirit wells up within you and you're reminded, hey, listen, you know what? I'm a little off course here. What I'm doing is not really what God desires. Some of us are a little bit more hard-headed and God's got to speak a little bit more powerful, right? I'm reminded in scripture, Samuel, who was so dialed in to the Lord and he heard the Lord speak. He said, Father, here I am, speak to me some more. I want to hear you. And he could hear him in his sleep. Now, I'm also reminded of Saul of Tarsus, who was bullheaded and hard-headed, and God had to knock him down and blind him to get his attention, right? If that still small voice won't work with you, you might want to buy some storm insurance, okay? Because I'm telling you, God will do something for you to listen to him. And he wants you to obey him. Well, what does this have to do with us today? Well, there are a couple of things that I just want to share with you that I think are so important for us, because some storms are for correction, some are for perfection, but I also believe that there are some storms that, much like Jonah, should drive us towards repentance. And I want you to know that in the midst of even your disobedience today, just as in Jonah chapter 1, I want to encourage you if I can a little bit, because I want you to know that even in the midst of your disobedience, God is always with us. He doesn't leave. Does his heart groan and hurt because we're not following him and doing what he's asked us? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean that he gives us the Heisman and shuts us out and doesn't still pursue us. There's someone here listening today, whether in this audience or online right now, and God has called you to do something for him. And for a long time, you've pulled a Jonah. You've run from him. And you're doing your own thing. I'm just telling you, you can't run from him. And he's always with you. The psalmist writes in chapter 139, verse 7, he says this, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. He goes on to say, if I go to the heights, you're there. If I'm in the valley, you're there, right? It's that chapter that talks about you've knit me together. You know me, right? Be a great, great chapter for maybe you to spend some time with this week in your quiet time with the Father. But God is always with us. Listen, he was present at creation. He spoke the very word into existence. We know that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. We know that God was with Noah on the ark. We know that it was God that was with his people while they were in slavery, and he was the one that led them out of Egypt. We know that God walked in the fire, as we talked about last week, with three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We also know that God was with their friend Daniel when he was in the lion's den. We know that God came to us in the flesh as a man named Jesus. We know that as we looked in Matthew and in the book of Mark, that he was with those disciples that day when they were in a boat and found themselves in the raging waters on the Sea of Galilee. And we know that he's always been present, and he went to a cross and he died so that you might live. Listen, he's with us and you can't escape him. Where can you go? Listen, he is the best seeker and finder. You feel like you can play hide and seek with God and escape him? It's futile. That means that don't even try it. He will find you. Aren't you thankful that in the midst of our storm, in the midst of our disobedience, that God is always with us? And the second thing that I would just leave you with today is this, like in this story of Jonah, God's desire is that we repent and return to him. Listen, God did not owe it to Jonah to send a great fish to swallow him, did he? Did Jonah deserve God's saving of him? Jonah had done this. Jonah was trying to run from God, but yet in God's great mercy, we sang about that just a few months ago, he was still providing this life preserver for Jonah. You see, God's desire, he wasn't finished with Jonah. He wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to the people on his behalf. But what he needed Jonah to do is just kind of think about that for a few days in the belly of this fish. And Jonah began to repent and call out to God and pray to him. And Jonah was able to return to this great calling that God had on his life. Listen, you're not too far gone in which God still can't use you. But here's what it's going to take. It's going to take repentance. In fact, I said this, your deliverance may come from your repentance, just as it did in Jonah's life. And let me just remind you about a God in heaven who wants us to repent and return to him. Look what the word says in the book of 1 John chapter 1. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to what? Come on, somebody, what does he do? He forgives us of our sins and he cleanses us from all wickedness. And look what verse 10 says. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. If I could translate that a little bit. Listen, if we say that we have not sinned, we're messed up because we all have sinned. And all of us are in need of repentance. All of us are in need of coming to God and confessing something before him. And I'm just telling you, if you're in the midst of a storm today, your deliverance may come through your repentance. And so today is the time for us to really search ourselves. Listen, God already knows where you're at. He knows what that is in your heart and in your spirit that is not of him. He knows if you've gotten a little sidetracked, if there's been a little hiccup in your pursuit of him and in your obedience to him. He knows that. And here's my prayer. I want us to allow the Holy Spirit of God today to spotlight that, because I don't want God to only know, but I think God wants us to know what is not right inside. Are you with me there today? I want to invite you to stand, if you would, please. And the band's going to sing over us. And today, I simply want to open up this altar today for you to come and just spend some time with the Father. You know, that word repent in the Hebrew means to turn. And for some of us here today, we need a shift. We need a turn to take place in our lives. The storm is raging. And that turn and your deliverance from it might just come through repentance. And so today as we sing, this altar is open for you to come and just to spend some time with the Father and let him minister to you right now. As we sing, we obey the Spirit promptly. Obey the Spirit promptly.
Oh, come to the altar.
Condemnation.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Repentance.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Your deliverance may come through your repentance. Come on, God's calling you to something, and maybe you've tried to run from him.
Oh, what a Savior.
Yes.
Isn't he one?
and our ministry team is going to come and minister to those that are down front, and they're going to make themselves available right now to receive you. Listen, do not miss this opportunity today that we have to seek forgiveness from the Father. You know if you're trying to run from him, you know if there's something that you need to turn from, repent from. And I pray that you not miss this moment. Listen, God's not finished with you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And he's going to be with you in the midst of the storm. But that storm that you're in might just be for your own good. He might be trying to get your attention to say, listen, I've got so much more for you. What does you just obey? Just listen to what I have. Listen, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We love that verse. We've got it tattooed in our house somewhere, right? God's got a great calling on your life. There's a plan. Just trust him with that. Let him highlight anything in us that is not of him, anything that might hinder. Listen, is there a wrong attitude that needs corrected? Is there anything unconfessed? Listen, repentance means to turn from that. God's got so much. And Father, that's my prayer for all of us listening here today. That God, we would not try to run from you. God, we would not try to escape from the calling you have on our life or what you desire for us to be or become, Father. Lord, for that person here today that's run from you, your spirit's been tugging at their heart for a long time to say yes to Jesus. Maybe for the person in this room here today, God, that has sensed that you're asking them to step out into a ministry of some sort. Maybe there's a group of people that need to see Jesus and be served. Maybe there's a situation that needs to be. Right, God, you're just at work. You're calling your people. And God, I pray that we would not try to run from you. You'll find us. We can't avoid you. You're always with us. And God, I pray that we would seek forgiveness. We would repent of our sins, God, so that we can get back on track with you. God, thanks for not giving up on us. Aren't you thankful for that? Thank you for not giving up on us. And for still loving us with arms wide open. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.